today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
If we are going to receive the blessing of the Lord and we're going to be prosperous and successful in God's estimation, we must be separated from the world. We must be separated from the world, not isolated, but separated. Not like the world, not letting the world press us into its mold, but living a life of holiness separate from the world. The road to blessing is shut with limits.
Everyone desires to grow in happiness and success in life. Yet the path believers take to grow in these areas is much different than that of the world. The Bible has a straightforward and clear roadmap to blessing and success. Today, Pastor John will map out the way to walk in God's blessings. Separate yourself from the ways of the world and seek to live a holy life. And saturate yourself with the Word of God. Read it, delight in it, meditate on it, and obey it. This is how to grow and mature in your faith and walk in the way God desires for you to have the best life. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of Psalms, chapter 1, for his message, The Way to Blessedness.
Follow with me in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor or does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he does meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, verse 4, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Psalm 1 has been described as a signpost pointing the way to blessedness, happiness, and prosperity. If you want to be a happy person, if you want to be a blessed person, if you want to be a successful and prosperous person, Psalm 1 is your psalm. It's been called God's recipe for success. Now, when we talk prospering and we talk success, you need to understand we're talking about it in God's estimation. What God calls prosperous and what God calls success is different than the world's standards. Amen? The world has one view of what it means to be successful, and God has another. And I don't know about you, but I'm interested in what God thinks. I want to be successful in God's eyes. I want to be successful in God's kingdom. I want lasting, fruitful success by God's standards. So Psalm 1 is the psalm for blessing and happiness. Now remember, the Psalms are Hebrew poetry, and Hebrew poetry doesn't depend on rhyme or meter, but it depends on contrast and what is called parallelism. There's several different aspects to Hebrew poetry, but one of the most common is contrast, and we get it in Psalm 1. In Psalm 1, the godly man is contrasted with the ungodly man. The blessed or happy man is contrasted with the man who will perish in all his ways. So there's a contrast between the righteous and the unrighteous. The contrast between the two is seen in verse 6. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, that's the righteous man, but the way of the ungodly, that's the contrast, shall perish. The righteous man, the Lord knows, he approves of him, he sets his love upon him, but the ungodly man shall perish. But I want you to notice the first word of the psalm, blessed, or, oh, the blessedness in the Hebrew. It's in the plural, so it's the blessings or blessedness. Some translations have, oh, how happy. And then notice the last word of the psalm, perish. What a contrast. The first word is blessed. The last word is perish. So today you're either the blessed or you are those who will perish. You're either a tree of the Lord's planting or you're the chaff which is blown away by the wind and destroyed. So we have the ungodly and the righteous man, the blessed and those who are going to perish. Now, I want to follow God's recipe for prosperity. So the first question we need to ask is, what are the conditions to the blessed life? What do I need to do? What do I need to be if I want the blessing of the Lord upon my life? They're found in verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But, verse 2, his delight is in the law of the Lord, God's holy word. And in his law or his word doth he meditate day and night. Now, the first thing we see, and I want you to write these down, is that if we are going to receive the blessing of the Lord and we're going to be prosperous and successful in God's estimation, we must be separated from the world. We must be separated from the world. Not isolated, but separated. Not like the world, not letting the world press us into its mold, but living a life of holiness separate from the world. The road to blessing is shut with limits. The blessed man will not do certain things. Now, this is the negative. You might note that verse 1 is what we do not do. Verse 2 is what we do. So there's the negative and there's the positive. Now, the minute the Bible tells us what not to do, that's what we want to do, right? Why? Because we're sinners. We have a sinful bent. We have an old Adamic nature. It's like the sign that says, wet paint, do not touch. What do we want to do? We touch it. Stay off the grass. Oh, you're not going to tell me to stay off the grass. So often when we're out doing things, I'll see a sign and don't park here, I'll park. And my wife goes, didn't you see the sign? Yeah, I saw the sign. You know, that sign says we're not supposed to do, I don't care what the sign says. Let's just do it anyway. That sign's not for me. Whenever I see a sign that says do not, that's exactly what I want to do. So God says the righteous man, the godly man, is not going to do these things. So I need a new nature. I need to be regenerated and given new life to want to follow the laws of God. But let me list them for you if you want to write them down. First of all, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy, then you will not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Notice that verse 1. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, who are the ungodly? The ungodly, simply stated, are those who live as though God does not exist. They're not super bad people, but they just live like there is no God. We call it practical atheism. And many of them are in the church. They come to church and they listen to the sermons, but they go away and they live as though there is no God. They don't pray. They don't seek the Lord's will. They don't serve the Lord. They don't read his word. They don't worship the Lord. They don't really have a heart for God. They just kind of ignore God like God does not exist. So it's what we call a practical atheist. If you question them, they go, oh yeah, I believe in God, but I don't seek him and I don't live for him and I don't acknowledge him. So you're living as though God did not exist. And if you want to be blessed and you want to be happy, you don't go to those kind of people for counsel. So it says that we walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. In Proverbs chapter 1, the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, says to the young men, if sinners entice thee, consent not. If they say, come, throw in your purse with us, go not with them. That was a song, that was a proverb that really spoke to me as a young man. Don't follow the sinful crowd. Don't follow the ways of the world. So if you want to be a blessed person, you want to separate yourself from ungodly and worldly philosophies, then notice, secondly, that the blessed man or woman will not stand in the way of sinners, verse 1. Will not stand in the way of sinners. Now, sinners goes a little further than the ungodly. The ungodly just live as though God does not exist, but sinners actually break God's laws. The word sin means to miss the mark. So they're rebelling against God and they're sinning against God. But there's a progression here. You start walking in their counsel, and then you're standing in their sin. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, says, there's a way which seems right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So you believe their philosophy or their counsel, and then you're acting out their sin. And then notice the third thing that you need to be separated from. Again, in verse 1, if you want to be blessed, you will not sit in the seat of the scornful. So it starts off with the ungodly, moves to sinners, and the next thing you know, you're mocking, you're a scorner. You're mocking the things of God. And this is the progression that many are on. They finally rebel against God and mock the idea of God, mock the idea that there is a God in heaven, that his word is true, put down Christ and Christianity. I think of men like Christopher Hitchens and Richard Dawkins and Bill Maher and Sam Harris, these modern atheists that spill all of their hatred for God. It's not enough for them to say, well, I don't believe in God, but they abused Christians verbally and attacked them and put them down, and they mocked Christianity and mocked the Bible and mocked the things of God. So they start off getting ungodly counsel. They begin to sin, and then they begin to scorn. How sad that many times parents of Christians' kids will send them away to a secular college. And that college will pollute them with their counsel, introduce to them their sins. And then the kids come home from their college and they're mocking God and Christianity and abandon their faith that they once held to. So I want you to note the progression in verse 1. Walking, standing, and sitting. That's the way sin is. It starts small. You just begin to listen to their counsel. Be careful that you're not taking in too much worldly philosophy in books and movies and television and other forms of media. And even friends. I got myself all messed up in high school because I hung around with the wrong crowd. Ended up in juvenile hall because I was following the wrong counsel, standing with sinners, and then began to mock with the mockers. And so we find that we start by walking, then we're standing, and then we're seated. I think of Lot in the Old Testament, who could have followed Abraham and trusted God, but instead he lusted and longed for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the first thing it says about him is that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. The next time you find Lot is he is in the city of Sodom. So there's a progression there. And then you find him condemned and his family overthrown with the sinners in the city of Sodom. Starts with friendship with the world. Then you become spotted by the world. Then you start to love the world. Then you are conformed to the world. And then lastly, you will be condemned with the world. So God wants us to be separate. So sin leads to sadness. Holiness leads to happiness. And that's our next point, verse 2. What must we do? We must be saturated with the Word. So in verse 1, we must be separated from the world. And in verse 2, we must be saturated with the Word. Notice at verse 2, but, this is the contrast, His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. So we move from the negative to the positive. From discernment to what we separate from, verse 1, to delighting in what we are saturated with, verse 2. The blessed man not only says no to wrong, he must also say yes to the right. Now, that's a simple but basic concept. You have to say no to sin and yes to the Savior. Amen? It's not enough just to say no to sin. You must say yes to God in your life. The blessed man does this, verse 2. He delights in the law of the Lord. First thing we note. What does the blessed man do? How does a blessed life come to us? By delighting in God's Word. The law of the Lord is the Bible. Now to the psalmist, and by the way, we don't know who wrote Psalm 1. It's called an orphan psalm. Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are both orphan psalms. We don't know who the human author is. My guess would be David, but it's only a guess. But we know the real author is the Holy Spirit. Amen? That all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed by the Spirit of God. And so Psalm 1 is written by we don't know who, but it's good advice that the man who wants to be blessed is a man who is saturated and delights in the Word of the Lord. Now this is an indication, a delight for God's Word, listen carefully, that you are a child of God. Do you know that nature determines appetite? Before I got born again, I didn't read the Bible. But once I got born again, that's all I wanted to read was the Bible. Read, 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 read. I couldn't get enough of God's Word. Nature determines appetite. Have I been born again? Well, what's your relationship to the Bible? You know, in many ways, we should treat the Bible the way we would treat Jesus. The Bible is His Word, and we love Jesus, and we want to hear Him speak. Amen? God speaks through what He's spoken. So your relationship to the Bible is all important. Do you delight in God's Word? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says, as newly born babes, desire, that's the delight, the sincere milk of the Word that you may what? Grow there by King Jimmy for by it. You know what the Bible teaches? You cannot grow apart from the Bible. You cannot grow apart from the Bible. You just come to church and sing, that you're not going to grow. You just serve the Lord, you're not going to grow. You're not going to grow until you open the book and you begin to read and God begins to speak and the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and transforms the child of God into the image of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God's number one chief way to sanctify you, make you holy, is His Bible, His Word. Jesus prayed in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So to delight in the law of the Lord is not just referring to the Ten Commandments or the Decalogue or the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. It's talking about the whole of Scripture. You remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? The first temptation was that if you're the Son of God, take these stones and turn them into what? Bread. Remember what Jesus said in reply to the devil? He said, it is written, so he drew from the Word of God, that man shall not live by what? By bread only, but by every word of God. I love that. Jesus is telling us how important God's Word is for us. Bread is not enough. Now, I'm a big fan of baked goods. I probably shouldn't tell you that. Don't bring me any donuts. I love them, but I don't need them, okay? Anything baked, praise Jehovah. I love it. Bread, donuts, muffins, you name it. Everything baked, I love baked goods. But more important than my daily bread is my feeding on God's Word. I love what Job said in chapter 23, verse 12. He said, I have departed not from the commandments of his lips. I have treasured or esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Isn't that great? Job says, I need God's word more than I need my food. In Psalm 119, verse 103, it says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, they are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Do you love God's word? Do you delight in God's word? Do you meditate in God's word? So let me summarize it for you. The blessed man, the blessed woman is a man or a woman of the book. The Bible is center of their life. They first of all read the book. Write that down. Read the book. Read the Bible. You go, well, you're a preacher. That's what all preachers say. That's what you get paid for doing. Tell us to read the Bible. But do I really need to read the Bible? Yes, you really need to read the Bible. Someone said you need a nook, and then you need to open the book. I like that. Find yourself a little quiet place. Find yourself a place where it's just you and God and open the book and let God speak to you. You want to discover God? You find Him in the Bible. You want God to speak to you? He speaks through His Word. You want to become more like Christ? Spend time reading in God's Word. It'll transform your life. So you just read the Bible. Here's the greatest danger in the church today is that we just don't read the Bible. If everyone in our congregation just started reading the Bible every day, revival would break out. I believe it with all my heart. If every one of the congregants in this church just opened their Bible and spent time in prayer and reading God's Word, this church would be transformed by His power. And the community around us and the world around us. Because revival starts with re-Bible. You want a revival, then you need re-Bible. You need to get back to the book and read the Word of God. And then second thing you need to do is you need to delight in it. And that's because God gives you a hunger and a desire. You delight in God's Word. You take joy in the Scriptures. And then thirdly, notice verse 2, you meditate on the Bible. So you read the Bible, you delight in the Bible, and then you meditate on the Bible. Now, it's been said and it's true, what delights us directs us. I like that. What delights us directs us. So if you love the Bible and you delight in the Scriptures, that's what's going to direct your life. And then you meditate on it. How often do you meditate? Day and night. Now let me explain what it means to meditate. Now notice it doesn't say medicate, it says meditate. Everyone's getting medicated today. What does it mean to meditate on God's Word? Now, an Eastern thought Transcendental meditation. Meditation is emptying your mind. Now, I don't need to empty my mind. There's not a lot up there to start with. I need stuff in my mind. To empty your mind, they give you a mantra, and the mantra is really a name of a Hindu deity, and people don't realize that, so they're worshiping a Hindu god. But it's filling your mind. But biblical meditation is it's emptying my mind. Biblical meditation is filling your mind. And the word meditate is tied in with the word to murmur or to mutter. That's because the Jews would read the Bible and they would read out loud. And they would repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. They would meditate by reading the Bible and muttering the words and scriptures. You see them in the Western Wall today as they bob and they read, and you hear them muttering the scriptures. They would say the scriptures. But the word meditate actually comes from the concept of a cow chewing the cud. Now, I understand cows have multiple stomachs and they can take a big bite of grass and eat it and swallow it. And then later that afternoon, they go, "That grass was awesome. That was sure good. I think I'd like to chew it a little bit more." So bring it back up. Swallow. That's good grass. Next day, you know, "Oh, wow, that was, I really like that grass. Let's try it some more." Bring it back up. And they chew it some more. And they swallow it, bring it back, and chew it some more. That's what you need to do with the scriptures. Now, I forgot to give you my homework for this week. I want you all to read Psalm 1 every day. And I want you to try to put it to memorization. Memorize Psalm 1. Hide God's word in your heart. It's the pathway. It's the signpost to being happy or to being blessed. I love what Clovis Chappell said. He said, "This amazing thing, the book, the Word of God, is one that does not grow old and stale through being read too often or too constantly. Through all the changing years, it remains to those who win their way into its heart as fresh as the first rose of June and as inexhaustible as the gushing spring from the hills." I love that. No matter how long you've been reading the Bible, no matter how many times you read Psalm 1, something new, something fresh, something wonderful. So you never grow out of the Word of God. You keep reading and meditating day and night. And here's one last point before we move on. You not only read the Word of God, you have to obey the Word of God. You not only meditate and delight in God's Word, but you must obey God's Word. Write down James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25. James says in chapter 1, verse 22, "But be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in the glass or a mirror. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and immediately forgets what manner of man he was. But," verse 25, "whosoever looketh," and that word means to stoop down, to take a deep look, "into the perfect law of liberty," that's the word of God, "and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in all his deeds."
Today, Pastor John encouraged you to be successful in God's eyes and to seek to follow him. This is the way to have the most blessed and prosperous life. Don't be friends with the world, as you'll be conformed to the world and eventually condemned with the world. Instead, delight yourself in the law of the Lord and walk in its ways. It's the very Word of God, and it will lead you to the best life God has. You can't grow in faith without God's Word. Before we tell you what's happening on the next edition of Revival Radio, let's hand it back over to Pastor John.
I want to take a moment and invite you to the church that I'm privileged to pastor, Revival Christian Fellowship. If you live near Menifee, California, we'd love to have you join us at one of our services on Sunday morning or Wednesday night. It's such a blessing to come together as the body of Christ and to worship and study God's Word. We'd love to have you and your family join us. It's easy to find our service times and directions to the church by visiting our website, revival.tv. I look forward to seeing you in an upcoming Sunday morning or Wednesday night service.
We discover one of the most beautiful pictures of God's love and care in Psalm 23. Here, David expresses God's deep love for his people. Next time on Revival Radio, Pastor John will explain that we are all like sheep, very needy and helpless without our Savior, Jesus. And because he's so good, he provides all you need, guides you where you need to go, and protects you from the enemy. He loves you so very much. Thanks for joining Pastor John today, and we hope you'll tune in again right here on Revival Radio.